Kof Hei Tishrei, Sunday the 29th of September, Rabbi Eliyahu Perlman. Toloyim, do we really see what we eat? This is a digital presentation, and I apologize for those listening in that they'll have to use their imagination more than usual. And in addition, please be advised, this is a 40-minute shiur. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. This is actually a part of a very large series of shiurim. And obviously, we've only got a very short amount of time. And I've cut it down to more of the background, practical background, as opposed to all the practical things, literally what you go through with vegetables. Each vegetable, that's really, could be more for the women. But this is more of a background, halakhic background, and some of an awareness, you could call it. So first, as a quick introduction, we all know that we have two parts to us. We have a guf and we have an neshama. Now, when it comes to the guf, we know how we have to look after ourselves. You have to eat the correct things, you have to exercise, and if we're not well, we go to a doctor, we take precaution, we have to look after ourselves. That's the way we look after our guf. But when it comes to our neshamas, which is an equal counterpart, we have to realize that it's a very similar thing when it comes to our neshama. When it comes to our neshama, we also have to feed it, we have to nurture, we have to look after it. And this is with the 613 mitzvahs. This is the Torah gives us, just that we have a doctor's manual, we have the Torah, which is a manual, which is looks after us, our neshamas, just as we know how to look after our physical aspect, so too it comes to our neshamas. One of the most obvious ways of looking, we have to be extra careful, is what goes into us. What we eat, in particular, when it comes to machalas asuras, that can have a real effect, as we'll see very briefly later, but it has a real effect on our neshamas. The famous mashal is given, someone once went to, had a heart problem, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him prescribed his daily routine, what he has to take in the morning, these pills, then exercise, then that meal, then do that, and a whole list of prescribed exactly how his day should be conducted. And that's exactly the same thing when it comes to our neshamas. We wouldn't say, when it comes to health hazards, we all go, oh, be careful, careful. When it comes to machalas asuras, when it comes to looking after our neshamas, the same type of should be taken. So, first, let's start straight away with going through the various love in the arm, the Torah, the various prohibitions in the Torah on the various shirots and insects we have. First of all, you have the Sheretz Hamayim, which is four separate loving. A Sheretz Ha'oretz, which is one which goes along the land, okay? It's five separate loving in the Torah. And finally, the winner is Sheretz Ha'oif. That's six separate loving for every single one, a Sheretz Ha'oif, which you can eat, if you were to eat it. Now, just to go very quickly, I'm not going to read out all the psukim, but if you see this chart, you see the first pasuk goes on all three categories. The next pasuk also. Now here, the Sheretz Ha'oif and Sheretz Ha'oretz are only included in that one. But the Sheretz Ha'oretz does catch up. Then, and like this, you can see exactly the various psukim, the various separate lavim that are on each of this. Sheretz Ha'oif, you can see the six separate ones, and Sheretz Ha'oretz one less, and then finally Sheretz Ha'oretz with four separate lavim. Now, what is interesting to speak out is, just before we get to that, it's not a very strange thing we see in the Torah. We see for eating one tiny insect, there could be potentially six separate loving. Now, when you start eating lettuce, especially with the post you bring down before Pesach, you can imagine how many isurim there could be. One of the poskim I saw bring down, early poskim already, it could be in one salad, it could have hundreds of isurim if you're not careful. Hundreds of loving. Now, I'm not aware, besides for one other thing in the Torah, where you get such a strange, overpowering amount of a crazy amount of Isurim going on. You don't find this anywhere else besides the one other Issa. You take one piece of Chaza, you have to eat a whole Kazayas to be over one Issa. A whole Kazayas. Here, you're going to see soon a tiny minuscule amount, and you're already over six Lavim. There's no such other comparison besides what I'm aware of, one other comparison, and that is Shmir Saloshin. If you go through the Chavos Chaim, the 17 Lavin, the Oras, the Aseis, all of them, that's the only other time you see that there's an abundance, and it seems to be the Torah went out of its way to give these so many Lavin. So, there's a pre-Chadosh, which says that this, Chai v'akol telas and imola chamisha malchus. Anyone who eats an ant or well, exact telas, a worm of some sort, an insect, okay, you chai five malchus. But im huzavuvim, if they fly or you tush it, then chai shish malchus. Ve'echmiru, then you chai six separate malchus. Ve'echmiru Torah was there. The Torah was extra malchus. Bahar belavim malchus with extra malchus and lavim liyos. Shehu issa motzum ma'od, because it's such a common issa which is found so often papyrus, bureaucracy, the kidneys, beroid min macholis, and many, many different types of foods. The efsha, here's the punchline, the efsha lezoim elehichshol bahem. It's impossible, says the pre-chodesh, to be careful with this, im loy bezerizos gadol. Unless you're particularly aware and careful, you won't be able to, you'll stumble over this issa. The Torah needed to make an extra awareness and to make it even more powerful to us by giving us extra isurim, so we realize how terrible this is, because otherwise we won't go out of our way to be careful with it. A very interesting idea. Be aroused himself, also to talk in publicly about the chomer, the severity of this issa. So that's why we're here today. The Chofetz, just come back to the Shmiras HaLoshon. The Chofetz Chaim, someone asked him just after he brought out the first real codified to put together the halachas of Shmiras HaLoshon. Someone said to him, "Shino Chofetz Chaim, you ruined my life. You know, till now I could speak what I want. You came along, you made your sefer Chofetz Chaim. It's so easy for everyone to learn. And now I can't. You know, you're rude. I can't use my mouth. It can't be. The Rebbeinu gave me a mouth to use, and you have to stop me from using it." And the Chofetz Chaim said to him, "No, on the contrary. You know, now that I've given you a sefer and the ability for you to be able to learn Shmiras HaLoshon, on the contrary, now you could use that keli that Rebbeinu Shlom gave you and you could use it properly. Till now you have no right to use it. You don't know how to use it. It's a dangerous kli. Now that you know how to use it, now can you use it?" And the same thing with Hilchos Tehillim, which is, as we said before, a direct comparison. We see Shmiras HaLoshon is so hard as well. To control yourself from speaking, it's impossible. So that's why the Torah had to put on so many lavim to be able to, I presume the pre-chodesh could use it for Shmiras HaLoshon as well. That's why the Torah had to make so many lavim, to make it impress upon us the severity of the issa. And so when it comes to Tehillim as well, that unless, you know, people say, "Oh, I can't eat this, can't eat that," it's not true. If we go through together, and we go through, I mean, we don't have time to develop all of it, but you learn up, and it's not impossible nowadays. There's a very nice English forum as well, and it just recently came out. And you understand, and you go through the Indian yourselves, on the contrary, then we could be proud to say that we could use the keli properly that Rebbeinu Shlom has given us, we could use the in a proper way. Now, we're not going to have time to go through this, but these are, anyway, a lot of people don't like this part of it. This is where the various bad things which happen to a person, effects that happens. First of all, the tzimtzum halev, a tzimtzum machshava, exactly what the difference is. I'm not 1,000% clear myself. And the bris haguf. There's a tzimtzum halev, just very, very quickly, a few ideas, but I'm not going into this in detail now. The Mesir Sashon already brings down in Perikud Aleph, very clearly says that eating macholis asuris is like poison. He brings down the Degel Machane Ephraim brings a story that happened to the Rambam. The whole city seemed to not be believing in Tzchias HaMesim. Not believing in Tzchias. They went to the Rambam. How can it be? What's going on? So the Degel Machane Ephraim said, and all the Rambam said, it must be the Itim HaCholos HaSuris. And that makes the mind warped. That makes the mind, you know, it changes our normal way of thinking, which is a Tzimtzum Machshava. It changes our normal way of thinking. It defiles the... If I could just read you out a Loshon in English from the Rishis Chochma. The reason Hashem Yisparach commands us to refrain from forbidden foods, that some of them defile the heart, such as lard and blood. Some of them cause us to be brazen, such as predatory beasts, animals, and fowls. Some clog the gates of the human wisdom and intelligence, such as the rabbit and the hare, the pig, and similar animals. Some, such as the land and water insects, give rise to various severe types of illnesses. Within that quotation, I know it's fast, we've got lots to get through. Within that quotation, you have a Tzimtzum Halev, Tzimtzum Machshava, and the Bris HaGuf, all of them directly from the Rishis Chochma. Just to bring one example, it comes up many times. This is a very, very clear example. If you look at the Ramah over there, in a case where a woman, for whatever reason, she's given permission by the doctor's request, the Rav said it's allowed, she has to take medication which is not kosher. Whatever the reason is, she has to take this medication. At the time, if she is nursing a child, the the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah brings down, she should refrain from nursing the child during that time she has to take the medication. Whatever she has to take the medication, that has to be, the Korach Nefesh, whatever it may be, she's allowed to take the medication. She has to take the medication, but she should refrain from feeding, from nursing the child during that time. And we see how the chashivas of this tintum halei, the tintum akshava, going over, even from one person to the next. Where do we learn this from? So the Bria Agro, which is not on here, the karasi l'cho isho minekes o'avrius. Why does it have to be dafka from an isho minekes minho'avrius? Why Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't go to anyone else? Explains the Vilna Gaon in the Bria Agro, often not on the page here. He explains that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to speak exactly from the throat, from the voice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to speak from Moshe Rabbeinu and speak to the rest of Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu. It couldn't be that he had anything, he took milk from a non-Jewish woman. Okay, so you could ask, maybe that's stuff from Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a very nice vote that from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, my father once told me from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that every child has to have been given the potential to be able to reach a Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Maisa, it's born, Halacha the Maisa, it's born Shulchan Aruch, you have to be so careful. That's how severe Tintum HaLev and Tintum HaKshava, and there are other examples of this within Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to feed Tanoikos, we don't feed a child Macholas HaSuris, we're not Mechuvim Chinuch in this yet. The reason is because of the Tintum HaLev and Tintum HaKshava, as well as the Bris HaGuf, the Sanz HaRebbe and his Sefer, brings a very interesting correlation between the Tintum Macholas Asuras and various ailments that people get from it. I don't want to go down that line for other reasons, but there is a very strong correlation between the two. Just very quickly, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala the Tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring a stumbling block to Tzadikim. People say, this subject is huge. I'm going to only begin. I'm starting off in the kitchen. How am I going to be so careful? They're going to show me all these pictures in a minute. How is it possible to be so careful on letters? How can you ever be sure that you're going to get around the problem? So we do know, though, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a special siyach to the Shvayach to those people who try to do it. Now you might think, okay, I'm not a tzaddik. It says in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe takol a tzaddikim. We all know that if in this area you excel or are trying, then the Chofetz Chaim brings this by Beninim, and the beginning of Shmiras HaLashon, he explains that who's a Benin, who's a Rosha, who's a Tzaddik. And Shmiras HaLashon says that those who excel in this area, even if someone is Mechal Shabbos, could still be considered a Tzaddik within the area of Shmiras HaLashon. It's interesting about it. So whoever is actually careful and tries to learn up these halachas could easily be considered and gets hopefully the siyach d'shmaya of in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe takol tzadikim. The Gemara says that Tosis brings it there. What does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a stumbling block to tzadikim. Very interesting. It says dafka ben yoni achila. In yoni achila. So if we're careful with these things, in yoni achila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us a siyach d'shmaya not to stumble in this. Lo yu'unin letzadik kol oven is begemasha ochel tomei to Tosis Rosh. Again, we see from these Amori Chazal, you see from these Gemaras, these Rishonim, that someone who is careful in these areas gets a Siyas Dishmaya to be able to help them through these difficult halachas. There's a famous, going around giving some of these Shurim and Eretz Yisrael here, the mouth stories which come in, which have some have been actually documented, not by me, but they're in Sforim. Just there are so many. But just one very special story from the Dain Abramsky. Dan Abramsky was once going on a holiday in Switzerland, and as we all know, Dan Abramsky was particularly involved in kashrus. And Dan Abramsky requested, for whatever halachic reasons, some you could guess what, I'm not sure myself, but it's not hard to imagine why, he requested only to have meat in this hotel. They gave him an option. Either he could have meat, which is shechted by a young shechet, slightly less experienced, or an old shechet with quite an old fellow, older shochet, but he has many more years of experience. And for whatever the reasons were, he said, I want to take the shechita, I only want to have the meat from the young shochet. That's what his decision was. He was in the hotel. One morning, they were serving him a soup. Now, this is a meat soup, and he's starting to have, and he saw a fly in there. So, the halacha is, we all know, the fly is a bottle of shishim. You can just take out the fly and have the rest of the soup. But he said, no, I can't have this. Whatever the reason, I'm not having this. And he refused to have the soup. A few minutes later, he came running in from the kitchen, the mashgiach, hey, Rabbi, don't have the soup. Today, it happened to be, it was shechted, the meat from this soup was shechted by the old sheikh, not from what you requested. Now, how this happens, it's not important. We all know that when it comes to someone who's so careful, someone like Dan Abramsky, someone who's careful in what they set their own standards to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves them from whatever the Machalas Asur, I don't think it's Shach Machalas Asur, it's Chas Shalom there. But if you set your standards, the Ribbono Shel Olam sends to you the Siyata Dishmaya to be careful to be able to keep those standards. The last halacha, if you overlook at the last halacha in a parak of the Rambam, you look at the last halacha, often you see some very interesting insights there. This is a long, by the way, parak Yud Zayin halacha lamed base. It's quite a long one. Someone who's careful with this brings an extra kedusha, the tzahara and purity, is an extra one. Yisera lenafsha to his soul. Umamarik nafsha l'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema, and he cleans himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema v'iskashem v'isam kodeshim ki kodesh oni. Now, we see that someone is actually careful in these inyon and gets an extra kedusha v'tahara to himself, is memarik himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just very quickly, at the end of this section, as an introduction, the Maral in the Sivas Olam explains, how can it be we're allowed to eat something in this world? We all know a bit about Perek Shir, about every Bria in the Ribbono Shel Olam, every Bria in the world, is just shouting the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how is it possible that we're allowed to go and minimize the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by eating it? Who do you think we are? Taking away all the shvachim shouting out the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are we coming to eat them? Explains the Maral that on the contrary, by making a bracha, it fills that void, but because we bring extra kedusha into the world. So I think with this Rambam, we can say the same thing. By bringing in, another answer to this question of the Maral, how can you eat something? Well, maybe if we're bringing extra kedusha of the Tahara Yaseira into this world, by being extra careful with Macholas Asuras, on the contrary, that fills the void of that minimization of the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're filling up the void, which is with this extra kedusha. So let's go straight to some practical ideas of the Hilchos Tiloyim. Now, what's first of all, everyone asks, what's the size of an insect which could create a problem, which is already an issa to have? So even if it's a very small insect, if it's the size that one could see, then it is asa. If one could see it. A small insect that a person with average eyesight cannot see because of its size is not asa. Okay, average eyesight. It doesn't mean, so if you've got one of the, an old man who's got huge, thick glasses, and he can't see anything without his glasses, it doesn't go by him. It goes by a person with average eyesight, someone that he could see, okay, an average person, if you can't see it, then now you're going to say, okay, that's quite large. Well, how, if you go around the room thinking what you can actually see with the naked eye, we'll see graphically in a minute. If one cannot see an insect because of its color or shape, which we're going to spend some time on, and not because of its size, it's still asa. This is the big stumbling block, I think, in one of the big ones, in Hilchos Tiloyim. You don't know what you're looking for, you can't find it. It's there, you just don't know how to see it. We'll talk about that a lot in a minute. A magnifying glass is of great assistance in training oneself to detect tiny insects, which are actually visible. So you're going to say to me, yeah, but if I use a magnifying glass, it's going to pick up things which I don't add. No. If it's times by 8, times by times by 10, up to there, actually, so I've been told from the Mumchim, you could be sure that it's not picking up anything which you couldn't see with the naked eye. Very often you don't know if it's dirt, it could be just a wing, it could be a leg, which are actually a surim as well, but you're not, the naked eye, to the untrained person, you don't know what it is. It's worth having a magnifying glass in the kitchen just to train yourself. Not only are the insects forbidden, but so are the insects' eggs, but it's interesting, the droppings of an insect do not come under Hilchos Tiloyim, it's Baal Tashak, so it's a separate issa altogether. They should be removed, because it's a disgusting thing, but actually it does not come under the category of Hilchos Tiloyim at all. So what's the size? Even a very small insect, now here you have a thrips, it's less than a millimeter long, very clearly detectable, we'll see later how. So if you notice, it's always got the black head, which makes it very easy to be able to find. This is a young one, that's why it's a yellowish type of color. On a dollar bill, okay, now most of you probably don't even care to look at a little dot, or the size of the E, it's less than a millimeter big, okay? But you can clearly see it, okay? One of these things, if you look at your shekel chadash, because everyone, if you look at it, I mean, no one has been really bored once, you get it out, and you can see the tiny shekel, you can see it with your eye, measure it afterwards, it's less than a millimeter big, so you can clearly see less than a millimeter, that's for sure. Again, a magnifying glass will help you detect something which is already there, which you could see, just to make it more obvious. Let's give a wild example. This is, I think actually, not so long ago, I saw Kadassi letters were up about this, I think. This is a pepper. It doesn't look particularly glossy or shiny yet, but a little bit of dust on it. When you zoom into this, you see the white fly. You could easily get tens and tens of Isurim. This is a Sheretz Ha'oif. Tens of Isurim on one pepper. Again, without it, yeah, I could see things there. I didn't realize that. That's because you're untrained. You don't realize what they are. It might look like dust particles. Everyone could see it, but it's not dust particles. They are Sheretz Ha'oif. Now, this is an example. This is a picture I got from Rabbi Falk. Most of these pictures actually do come from him. I've been told to tell you, this will never happen. I mean, it's a one in a million chances, okay? Happen on Kurtzel's Road. It's literally one in a million chances, okay? He tells me he'll be very surprised if you ever see something like this again. But why it's here is like this. You see again, yeah, something's going on with this pepper. Okay, so when I go up to that part, I'll wash it. Or I'll just brush it off, whatever it is. You look in here, you see literally a zoo, okay? Now, you can't say that you didn't see it because you can. Okay, you might not realize what it was. I don't expect anyone would have realized, but you can even see the eyes on here if you look carefully. Okay, this is like literally hundreds of Isurim in one pepper there. Okay, again, this is a very rare picture. Anyone who does find this, I'm sure Rabbi Falk will give you a big prize. Now, the visibility of an insect. Now, this is a... if you can't see it because it's shape or color, it's no reason that, you know, it's going to be... And this is, I'll tell you why it's here. A lot of this presentation was actually given to me to update for England from one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. So I felt bad to take out certain things which he put in, but I think this is slightly outdated. You see the zebra now. Now you're all going to tell me that you can't see it. Okay? I updated it slightly myself with this picture. Now, you're not going to find a tiger in your lettuce, I hope. But something... But what is important to see is like this. You now see it's camouflaged. Much harder to see. Over here, you see, if you look carefully in the middle, you can see a chameleon. Okay, everyone see it? Very hard to detect, but it takes the natural color of the habitat around it. Let's move on. This is two separate pictures of a bark of a tree. If you look very carefully at what's going on here, you see again, there are two shirotsin. Okay, they're moths or something. You also won't come usually to eat something like this. But what you see is very often, and you see it time and time again, as we'll see a few more pictures, that the garden sabri to protect these animals, they are totally and utterly camouflaged within where they live in order to protect them from the predators. If you take a picture like this, which is under very good lighting, you could all see what it is, but extremely hard to detect. Extremely hard to detect on a lettuce. Okay? Because it's green on green, the legs look like the veins of the lettuce. Very, very hard to detect unless you know what you're looking for and how to look for it. There again, with good lighting, with good photography, you could clearly see it. But you won't be able to see this easily. It's green on green. You won't be able to find it because it's exactly the same as the bark of the tree. Very hard to detect. This whole thing is a Sheretz. Okay, where do you find it? In seaweed. Okay, again, it looks like a piece of seaweed. The whole thing is a Sheretz. Okay, very common in seaweed. To be very careful with sushi to kind of make sure that things are looked after properly. Again, this whole thing is not a leaf. This is a completely and utterly a Sheretz, which is actually sitting on top of a branch of a tree. Again, camouflage to look like a leaf of a tree. This again you find on leaves, large leaves. Again, it's a Sheretz, very hard to detect. Something like this. Okay, and they actually do serve flowers, which are edible flowers, so I've been told. I mean, they're supposed to be served these at fancy chasnas. I've never been invited to one to find something like this. But they do serve edible flowers, okay? And something like that you'll find. Something like that you won't easily find. Okay, this is a guava. Guava is one of the fruits which in Eretz Yisrael is muchsuk b'toloyim. We're going to learn what muchsuk means in a minute, but it's got a very high infestation rate. Everyone could see it very, very easily over here. You see the Sheretz again with the blackhead over there. You can very clearly see it. That is what you call a pink guava. There is exactly the same type of fruit. It's called a white guava. Again, much harder to detect. Just because, you know, someone once gave me the marshal, one of the post-Gemini Eretz Yisrael, when I was speaking to him, gave me the marshal, you know, you no one will ever dare to have chazafleish. No one will think of having a nice piece of red chazafleish. No one will eat it. So why, when it's on a red plate, would you want to eat it anymore? Okay? So the same thing with this. No one's going to come to eat that red one, so you can clearly see the Sheretz. When it comes to this, it's just as osa, but just harder to detect. Something like this, you won't have a problem finding. a carrot, which is generally not a problem. We're not going to have time to go through the various vegetables which aren't a problem, but whilst you're preparing them, it's so easy just to look out for simonim. It's not a checking process. It's just whilst cutting them up, what to look for, key things to make it easier for you to see. Again, notice the orange worm in a orange carrot. Again, this is a picture that's given to me actually from an English person in Eretz Yisrael. A pepper here. Again, a green caterpillar inside. This is just something interesting. You see how well it camouflaged the caterpillar is at the top there. Notice if there's a hole at the top, that could be quite a problem. If there is, because it goes in. If, though, you ever find a hole on the side, you're a lot better off, because usually that means the sherets is either on its way out or out. But notice that that's nothing to really know. What I want you to see is the color of the sherets once again. Now, this is not a problem in this country. Anyone can guess what this is?
Chocolate.
Okay. This is a piece of chocolate. In this country, it's generally not a problem. In Eretz Yisrael, where things are kept on the shelf for much longer, they've told me in Eretz Yisrael, the longer it is on the shelf, the better the chocolate. But the problem is, again, notice the color of the sherets on the brown chocolate. Okay. Again, by the way, just very quickly, because it is... You can see maybe you can't on this one, it's zoomed in too much, but it's very flaky. You can tell if anyone's had an old piece of chocolate, you know what it looks like. If it's very flaky, beware, okay? Here is a very good picture of a flaky chocolate. You know something has gone wrong, okay? You look in, and there is a sherets there. Not too hard to find. When you know, if you realize that something's going on, then you will find it, okay? I've actually more than once found in my own chocolate, not because I was looking, okay, just because if you see something wrong, you realize something's going on. I have more than once found a problem in chocolate. Someone actually, I remember a cheder boy from Chochem Shleim in Eretz Yisrael came running into Kola one day because someone told him, his Rebbe sent him from over the road to come in for me to take a picture because he had an infested. But again, it shouldn't happen in this country. This is with on a parasite on fish. Fish is a whole separate topic, which we're not going to have time, but as you can see here, it's see-through, it's shakuf, it's see-through, and therefore very hard to detect. A strawberry, okay, we might get time for a strawberry later, but you see very clearly, very unclearly here, that it's hard to detect, okay? You can see the seeds, the very seeds of the strawberry, and then you look in the middle here, and you see something very, very similar to the rest of the strawberry, very hard to detect. So, Esheretz hasheretz ala oretz, the Pasuk says. What does this mean? An insect that is free to creep along the ground, implying that if it is not yet free to creep along the ground, then it's permitted. It has to be that it was able to creep along the ground. The halacha learned from this is that there is a fundamental difference in the din when the insect develops in the fruit, only after picking instead of beforehand. It's a difference if it was attached to the tree or not attached to the tree when the insect is found, or when the insect was born, actually. This is because the fruit, which is attached to the ground, is itself considered oretz. So if it's attached to the ground and the insect was walking around in that orange, which is attached to the ground, is considered asheretz al ha'oretz, therefore it's the osa. An insect found in the fruit from when it was attached to the ground is forbidden even before the insect leaves the fruit, because there are time to be asheretz al ha'oretz within the fruit itself. However, an insect which was born inside the fruit, which was detached from the ground and has never had time to go out of the fruit, is technically allowed. Okay? Again, when you get an orange, you don't know, was it born inside, was it born or not? You don't know, therefore we are always machme. We'll leave the worms and fish. It's another whole difficult topic, not for now. So, as we mentioned before, there's a chiv, when is there a chiv menatzeret to be check your fruit, your vegetables? When is there a chiv menatzeret? Only when it is muchsuk. Muchsuk, according to everyone, is when it's more than 50%. More than 50% chance it's going to be there. There are statistics out. It changes for various countries. But they're, for leafy vegetables, pretty much the same in most countries. If it's more than 50%, you have a chiyuv min ha'tzoret to check. A chiyuv min ha'rabbanan. Now this is a very, very complicated area. This is where you get all the way from certain kashrus organizations, which I'll make up to 10%, which makes a lot of sense, by the way. There's a Mishnah Yaakov and various poskim. Though you rely on the something which is up to 10%, and you go all the way to the machmirim, which are less than 1%, a lot less than 1%. So exactly what is this chiv midrabbana, when there's a chiv to check, which is the mitzvah motzah, it comes up the same thing with shatnas, it comes up with reyes when you're in oifus, in birds, it's in trepas, in animals. Exactly what is a mitzvah motzah, which is mechayev you to check something, is very complicated and actually quite controversial as well. Any food item, so I've given an open one, you could easily argue in this definition, it could be, any food item that is sometimes infested, but certainly only in the minority of cases, I know it's a funny lashon, but I think it's the easiest, most general lashon we could give, for example, cabbage, okay? Shmuel Vosner has a very, very interesting psak. Some of the kashrus organizations can go with that, is that if, would you be, like, it doesn't give you percentages, would you be absolutely shocked to see it there or not? Or could you? Yeah, I wouldn't fall off my chair. I wouldn't imagine, but you know, I wouldn't have thought a day-to-day thing. But I wouldn't be. You know, it can happen. That already fits into the chiv mi'at hamotzi, a very strange type of thing. But that's what Shmuel Vosner brings there. Ain chiv mi'at that if there's not even a mi'at hamotzi, it's once in a blue moon. There's no chiv whatsoever. Okay, I mean, you don't expect usually to find something after you've rinsed off your apple in a normal, just because it's been sitting on the shelves and with other fruit. But you rinse it off like very casually. I don't think anyone really expects to find an insect in an apple too easily. I'm sure if I ask you around the room how many of you probably once or twice have actually found something. A potato, just recently I took a picture at home with a potato with the sherets in it. Again, these things are very rare. Okay, now this is very important. Whenever, wherever, there is a chiv to inspect, either, which is chiv in atur midrabbanan, each and fruit and vegetable must be checked, every single one individually. There are times you will see that, oh, check three of the batch, that's because we're not sure really there's a proper chiv. It's if there's a proper chiv to check, you have to check each and every one. There's no such thing as taking a lettuce, oh, I'll check one or two of the leaves, oh, looks good, the rest of it must be good. If there's a chiv to check, you have to check it. Now, where an inspection is a chiv min atayra, only an adult might be relied upon to do the inspection. When the inspection is a chiv midrabbanan, then even an intelligent child may be relied upon, but it's preferable if an adult inspects the food which is eaten by an adult. Now, what is really important here is the small writing. A person checking must be sensitive to the issues and details of bug checking. If not, he may be not relied upon. Now, this is quite a sensitive issue because, I mean, so first of all, let's move to the next one. On the notes that may go, be relied upon. So I've given these shurim to women before, and they say, you should know, my mother's cleaner is better, she knows how to clean the letters better than myself. Well, it's an embarrassment, I'm going to tell you. But no way can you rely upon a goy. I spoke to one of the local rabbonim again. It's not possible to rely upon a goy. And the simple reason is, because although, you know, what are you going to say to the goy? Let me ask you this. You're going to tell the goy, you know, if you find an insect in there, I'm going to sack you. Yeah, you're going to sack your cleaner for the last 20 years you've been cleaning because you found, after she cleaned it, a little fly in the lettuce. I don't believe you, and the cleaner definitely won't believe you. Okay? There's no meritus. It doesn't, and even without meritus, there's a chiv to check every single one. Okay? Now, the problem, the sensitive issue, and I'm not going into the people ask, and I'm not one to even judge it, you have to be careful when eating other people's houses. It is sensitive, and each time it's a separate issue. If they're not careful with these things, you know, you have a problem. Again, the chiv bidaraisa of being embarrassing someone overrides a very, very far-fetched type of chance that there's going to be a problem there anyway. But every time you have to juggle it up, and obviously you have to be very sensitive and pass the shalom to insult someone, because that could be a worse chiv, that could be a worse issa than being mevarish someone, and insulting someone could be a worse issa than what we're dealing with. But you have to do, before you go somewhere, you have to really have a shikla das to know what's going on. Okay, now, we've run out a bit of time again. I thought this might happen, but I'm going to skip that lot of bit of a shishim. I mean, the question is, if you've got big letters and you have a little sheretz, why is it not bottle b'shishim? So those who know the halachas about bottle b'shishim will know that if it's a whole barrier, or if you could still retrieve it even if it's not a barrier, then that's no hetzer to have that. But we'll have to skip that. The other thing is making smoothies. Can you make smoothies? People say, oh, it's ground up, and therefore the sheretz are no longer, it should be bottle b'shishim then, it's a good question. But if you aim a batle isa l'chatzchila, and therefore that wouldn't be allowed. Having said that, I think it's important to mention frozen strawberries. Now, there's a difference. I'm going to leave it. There are certain exceptions to the rule, but we're not going to have time for everything in the next 5 minutes. First of all, there are legal requirements now that there are certain standards, food standards, and which people say, okay, legally, you're not allowed to have a certain amount of insects in your foods. Maybe that should be allowed, that should be good enough for the washing process. If you look at this, this is from the United States Department of Agriculture, quite old actually, but still relevant, most of it. Frozen, if you just take anything randomly, take the shortest one, frozen broccoli, okay, yes, they do clean it, but what do they allow? An average of 60 aphids, thrips, or mites per 100 grams. Halakhically, that doesn't even come onto the page of a, or even the Mekilim, that couldn't possibly come onto a Heter. So we see even the standards which are set by the government are no way good enough for us. People say, my Babas, my Zaydas, they never, you know, going back, they never were so careful. Why, this is the latest Chumrah of coming from, you know, you cooked up the latest Chumrah, don't, you know, we don't need more Chumrahs around. Well, let me explain to you a bit of the background. It's a fair question. First of all, nowadays, just run through, each one of these could really be spoken about separately, and I must tell you, all of these are documented very early, already in the Chochmas Adam. Many of these are brought down, the Pre-Chodesh brings many of these ideas. I'm just going to mix it all together. First of all, nowadays, it's been proven that we, for health hazards, okay, for certain areas of Yanamachla as well, they use a lot less pesticides than they used to use. Okay, we all know people are more organic, whatever you want to call it, but nowadays we use less pesticides, and because of that, there are actually more insects around than a decade ago. Also, the way they, many, you see, the farmers, all they care is that their crops do not get killed, do not get infested by these menaces, by the insects. What they do is they use the minimized pesticides to use. So what they do is they actually inject certain things or spray certain things onto the insect. If an insect comes on it and eats that stuff, what happens is it dies and gets stuck or something like that on the insect, but doesn't actually eradicate them from coming there. So they're still there. Often the way they do things, they actually hoover the field these days with proper vacuum cleaners, which suck off the menace, the big insects, but doesn't get rid of the problem for us. Controlled climates nowadays. Sorry, let's go back. Controlled climates nowadays. We, you know, it used to be in the olden days. The Pre-Chodesh speaks about this at length. It used to be in the olden days. You grew your strawberries in the summer. The winter, the tilloim died out. In another town, they grew the cherries, and then they knew each. First of all, let's just say this. Let's start again. It used to be it goes by seasons, and by it comes to the non-planting season, the tilloim would die out. And so therefore it was a controlled. Nowadays, where you can have controlled climates, you can grow strawberries all year round in a hothouse, that is just an unbelievable breeding area for them to grow, because they grow and grow and grow, and the more pesticides used, the cleverer they get, and they could grow against these pesticides. So because of controlled climates, we have no longer that killing off period. The other problem is that nowadays everything's imported and exported, which we never used to have. And therefore, the whole world, although, let's say, England were experts in their area, how to kill their tilloim, in Spain they had their area, now England, in Spain, France, everything, as Israel, we're all like one big zoo, and everything gets, we all share each other's problems. But we don't necessarily, the reason that Amaraxis came, says the Pre-Chodesh, we never shared how they knew how to kill out their insects, says the Pre-Chodesh. Storage for long periods of time, now this is just an example there. Storage, you have these huge, this is what they call Nesrol, a Tachnech Kemach, which is a flour company, and they have the huge amount of pipeworks and everything. You can imagine they're stored for such a long period of time. Just to show you an example of something which is stored, people ask, can you use a matzah from 1 year to the next? The answer is, Shiloh Chometz is not much of a problem. The problem of Tilloim is a much greater problem. You see on this matzah, something's gone wrong with it, there's webbing there, you tap this over a sheet of paper, you'll see hundreds of little mites coming out. Okay, sometimes it's easy to see if you store chocolate over a long period of time, there can be a problem. This is with the controlled climates. You have plastic underneath, plastic on top, you're really looking for trouble. So, if it's just in 2 more minutes, what we could say is like this. In order to understand bug checking, one must need to know like this. What you're looking for, okay? And that's the whole next part of the shiur, which we don't have time for now. If you don't know what you're looking for, okay? You're not looking for, in dried fruit, you're looking for mites. You're not looking for necessarily live insects. If you don't know what you're looking for, and you don't know how to look for it, you don't know the method. Do you use a light? Do I use water? Do I use soap? You don't know how to look for it. And again, you don't know where. Is it inside? Is it outside? You don't know where, what, how, and where. Then you haven't got, you know, you're on a bad foot. If you know, which is really the series of the Shurim is, this is just an introduction. If you know what you're looking for, and how and where, then you'll be able to do it. So just one example, and I'll leave it here. Dates. Now dates, they grow like this in Eretz Yisrael or in any other hot countries, Mediterranean countries. You find something like this. If you look carefully, I know straight away something's gone wrong with this date. I can see lots of gritty type of matter. It's actually the waste of this tolas in the middle. You know there must be a worm of some sort there. Okay, you know there must be something there because of all the mess around it. Now, this is quite easy to see once you zoom in. Now, this is a zoomed in date. Very, very hard to detect. Very, very hard. However, again, over here, extremely hard to detect. Okay? However, if you know that you lift it up to the sun or something which is it's quite transparent to date, if you lift it up to light, it doesn't even have to be such bright light, by the way, you'll be able to see it quite easily. Again, this, people ask, what is this? Could this be mites? Could be. Unlikely. Very, very often you find this on dates. If you get this from a good company, it's very unlikely to be mites. There are other ways to check if it is mites. This is actually sugar crystals, which aren't a problem. So you might be going crazy, taking it all off. Again, if you don't know what, how, and where, then you're in trouble. Again, I know this says, look, I've seen without any Watson cords, but I've been told, if you cut these are made from, they're made in very low Arab areas, some of these date bars. If you snap them in half, I've been told you literally find a fly cemetery on your plate. Again, though, if you take a tamar lach, a fresh date, it's rare to ever have a problem. And you don't really have to go through any cleaning process at all. As you're cutting it up at your Tu B'Shvat table, then you cut it in half, you take the pip out because you don't want to choke anyway, and you look very clearly on the white if anything's gone wrong with it, unlikely something has. You look quickly on the outside to see any hole, and there's near to nothing you have to do. Again, if you know what you're looking for, how you're looking for it, then life is a lot easier. Okay, so we'll leave it here. That's the timeout.